This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
By the way,
please do.
I am singing on it.
Wonderful.
This is Suggs. I'm singing in the background.
Sensational. What a way to begin a show.
No, I'll get there. Don't worry.
Welcome to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. And you've already met one of my friends in the studio. It's an absolute delight to be joined by Stamford Chidge, David Chidgey, and Jonathan Kidd.
Kido.
From the Chelsea Fancast. Normally, when a Kiev is demolished in spectacular style, it involves garlic butter. But Chelsea made very short work of Dinamo last night.
They went through them like a knife through butter.
Without a chicken inside.
I was in hospitality, and guess what they served?
Chicken Kiev.
They did.
Did they actually?
Yeah, and I have to say, it was very tasty, but particularly the mashed potato. Not that that has any relevance as a metaphor, but nonetheless, it was very tasty. And I demolished it, but I didn't wait until the last few minutes. I'm out of breath.
You need to lie down.
Because I ran. I ran from the tube station, you can tell.
I've never seen Jonathan run ever.
Ever? No, but I've got bad knees.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's good. That's taking one for the team, mate.
It was. I need to be here.
Because you went the extra mile for Chelsea.
I went the extra mile for this show.
I
work for this show.
I'm honoured.
And our new presenter.
No,
well, it's very much appreciated.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that you're called Posh Boy, because you're not as posh as me.
Well, I'm not actually called Posh Boy. It's not a case of Christian name Posh, second name Boy. It was in my old role as co-presenter,
but,
really.
But are they unbelievably chavvy, then, the people that
Bell
are working
Sperling.
With?
No.
I wouldn't say that to their face.
No, I've said it here deliberately. If we'd come in and you were terribly like that, I would have said, "Oh yes, he's a posh boy."
Well, I could go.
Could
for that
you?
If you'd like,
could we do that later on?
We
together,
can later
both
on.
Of us?
I promise you, we can.
I love that.
I'm going to change the Chelsea Fancast quiz tonight.
What are you going to?
Well, I've got a good question. I'll do it in a minute, but
okay.
I think we might change it. Who is the poshest out of Johnny Posh Boy Burrows
and
or
Jonathan
Kidd,
Posh Boy Kid
or Chidge?
who is
the poshest out of
Chidge.
Us three?
Yeah, it's the very fact you just said, who is the poshest out of us three?
The smart bettors amongst you will put the money on me.
Actually, the son of never.
Talk, Johnny. Stop him from talking.
Yeah, stop me from talking. I'm not saying anything. I'm just pointing at you.
We're talking.
We're talking
about Dinamo Kiev last night. I thought it was a really, really good performance. A wonderful attacking performance, but also kept that clean sheet.
Yes, but at 90%, they pressed fantastically. They pressed for the whole, except for that terrible last 10 minutes where Kiev suddenly decided that they would press us. And instead of doing what Fulham did, which is to boot the ball aimlessly down the pitch and somebody run after it, that old ploy, we just stayed playing short goal kicks and passing the ball and losing it.
Don't you think that Kiev were absolutely awful?
Awful. Worse than...
they kept on passing the ball
the
out.
Previous, than the previous. Well, no, but what it was that we were really on top of them. They could not deal.
They were awful.
No, but they weren't that awful. They couldn't deal...
I thought they were.
With the, yeah, they were, but they were made awful, Chidge, by right. The fact they couldn't deal with the way that he was playing it.
Yeah.
I was right above him. They moved us.
Where were you last night?
Because very few people had taken up hospitality,
yes.
Because they'd made the price is so unbelievably expensive. They moved us. I was exactly on the halfway line.
On the other side? Were you on the other side?
No, I'm still in the east stand.
Yeah?
In the east stand middle. Running straight through my chest.
You were in God's waiting room.
There it was. I was just there. Yeah. And it was. And
but you're normally in the middle, though.
No, I'm normally to the right of it.
Oh, right. So you were to the left of
the right, to the left. Yeah, yeah. And so I watched Sarri all the time. And he is a maniac.
Did he smell a fags?
The fags didn't come up that far. But this constant movement and energy and worrying and moving and
doesn't
looking
he normally
and pointing.
Write in his notebook
no, he didn't
all the time.
Write very often. He wrote when they didn't pray. We didn't press enough. You see, that I'm obsessed with that. I really think that's whenever he makes those notes, he's doing it because they're not pressing. They're not doing what he wants. And for 16, 70 minutes, they played exactly the way he wants to play. And, you know, with Luiz spraying these brilliant 50-yard passes.
He's Luiz not allowed to do that,
No, not within Sarri ball, but I think we've got to give in that might be a ploy.
Okay.
And with Pedro and Willian playing out of their skin.
Yeah, Pedro was
Pedro,
on fire.
Well, except for missing three goals. Yeah.
Well, Johnny thought Giroud played well last night, didn't he?
Well, I'm a big fan of Olivier Giroud. I found it very interesting that the front three were all so impressive. And actually, all three of those players have come in for quite a lot of fire.
Huge criticism.
With Giroud, he obviously still didn't score a goal, and the criticism that many Chelsea fans will stand by is that he doesn't hit the back of the net enough. But actually, I thought that lots of the interplay, the little touches, the link-ups around the 18-yard line, particularly that nutmeg back heel to assist
Completely
Pedro.
Brilliant. That was brilliant.
He just brings so much to a team, which is why, of course, he kept starting for France in the World Cup,
even
when he couldn't hit a
barn door. That's right. That's exactly the problem. But
he's got a nice beard, though.
A very good beard. I think we should. There
like
should be your
beard.
Emphasis on his beard.
Yeah.
As a man who doesn't grow great beards.
And he's got nice hair too.
I
always approve of that.
He's generally rather attractive.
I like Paulo Ferreira because he had great hair.
Did you like him for that reason?
Yeah.
He's also
that's
a very good looking man.
Fabulous
he
looking
was Portuguese,
chap. I probably would
Giroud's
actually.
French.
Hang on, are we really trying to put him in the category of good looking that Olivier Giroud sits.
No. Well, no. Paulo Ferreira
was gorgeous. Everybody loved him.
Compared to Olivier Giroud,
No. Sorry, Giroud's not got a patch on Paulo Ferreira, has he?
Well, Lynn next to me, when I sit next to him, is completely in love with Paulo Ferreira.
Yeah, well, I am too, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
But what about Carlo Cudicini?
Completely.
He's a good looking man.
She was in the lift once with him at an away game, and she swooned.
She swooned?
She actually swooned.
Have you ever seen a woman swoon
her
before?
Her knees just turned to jelly, and she knocked them together.
It's quite a sight.
I assume you experienced that every time you walked down Southwark.
Well, no, I mean, sadly, it wasn't me that made her swoon, Johnny. No, but I did. I was doing a programme for Nuts TV, would you believe? And we had James Haskell as a guest on the show that I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And he walked into this office, and it was a really big open plan office. There must have been about 30 odd people in there, a lot of them kind of young, kind of 20 something producers. And I saw them, and he walked in, and this man is ripped. I've never seen muscles. His arm muscles are like my legs. Frightening. And they just all collectively swooned. I've never seen anything like it. It's really weird.
What was their swooning in particular?
They kind of went,
But he's not actually, and no disrespect if he's listening, James, because he has been
he's
on the
Chelsea
station.
Chelsea fan, James.
He's a very nice chap. Yeah. He's not beyond the sheer size of the man. He's not actually particularly good looking.
No. But when you've had your head between, you know, big bloke's legs for a lot of your career, then it's hardly surprising, is it?
Hardly surprising. We are getting, by the way, some breaking news into the studio, not Chelsea related, but it's that finally, after all this time, Tottenham's new stadium is going to be used competitively in the first week of April.
Have they done their tests then?
Well, presumably they have. I was talking to the guys for the Spurs fan show last night.
Under 18 game, isn't there?
So, yeah, we still need two tests to
that's
be completed.
Right,
it was being suggested that that would be a formality. And if this is being announced on the BBC, on Sky, presumably there must be assurances in place.
But not for the Champions League games. And look, quickly, because I know you've got to go to a break in a minute.
We need to do the
quiz, don't we?
Yeah.
Right.
Hang on a second.
Thank you. It's back. It's back. We had a bit of a different quiz last week. This week, we've got back to the same format. So we're playing Wolves on Sunday, of course. So I want to know who played for both Chelsea and Wolves. And I found 14. I think there are more, but I found 14. I want to know who they are.
And I'd like to ask a question.
Yeah?
Why have they opted for this yellow shirt?
That's disgraceful. We'll ask Harry. He's coming on later.
He's coming on, because it is disgraceful.
Yeah, OK. I'll remember that.
Well, stay absolutely where you are, because coming up, we'll have the press report with Dom Fifield, London football correspondent. We need to find out about this FIFA transfer ban.
This is Love Sport. Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to be joined by Stamford Chidge, Dave Chidgey and Jonathan Kidd from the Chelsea Fancast. I'm also delighted to be joined on the line by Dom Fifield, London football correspondent. Good evening, Dom. Thank you for joining us. We've heard today that FIFA have denied Chelsea's request to freeze their transfer ban during the appeals process against it. Now, that's despite the fact that when various Spanish clubs appealed against similar bans, the same punishment was frozen. Surely if there's going to be a rule here and there's going to be a precedent set, FIFA need to stick to it.
Yeah, I take the point. I do think, however, that things have moved on a bit since the days when the Spanish clubs played the market, basically bought themselves some time to buy some players. I get the impression, and I've been talking to people at FIFA, and I suppose you have to take it with a pinch of salt because it is FIFA, but they are very confident that the appeals process will be concluded within the next couple of months, so well before the summer window, bearing in mind that the summer window technically starts on the 1st of July, I think. But if that is concluded, there'll be plenty of time still, if they uphold the original sanction, for Chelsea to appeal to CAF, Arbitrations and Sport, to get an interim ruling whereby they will be able to trade ahead of any potential ban, while CAF basically looks at the case in future, which is what happened with Barca, Atletico and Real Madrid in the past. So, although this comes out as quite big news this afternoon, and it prompted another sort of outraged statement from Chelsea. I'm going to sit here and say I think FIFA have streamlined this punishment, their investigations into similar offences, such as that alleged to have been made by Chelsea, in the years since the Spanish clubs were punished, and will probably find that the appeals process is concluded well in advance of the summer window anyway.
So Dom, and it's my fault earlier on, actually, because it's the London football correspondent from The Guardian, we should have said, Johnny, but I forgot to write that in the running order, so it's all my fault. Lovely to speak to you as ever, Dom. Here's the thing. So do we still think that Chelsea are going to get a transfer ban and not be able to sign anybody from this summer or not?
No, I still think that they will be able to sign players this summer, because I think they will go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport and apply for this intermediary, interim sort of ruling, whereby they will be able to trade until CAF actually look at the case.
Right.
And it may be that then drags, because the lawyers, they have to start their own investigation, effectively, CAF, I imagine. And so, like, it will drag well into the future, but there was outrage this afternoon in that statement that Chelsea released, the sort of astonishment that they mentioned in passing. But actually, if you talk to people at FIFA, they say this is the normal process. They should have been aware of this. This isn't really, and nothing's really changed other than we've tightened things up in the last few years, and we'll be able to get this looked at far quicker now, well before any transfer window, which, you know, where the sanction might normally have applied.
Dom, if this ban does end up sticking, obviously that would be bad news for the club on the pitch specifically, but more broadly, what would it mean for Maurizio Sarri's future? Because if the club were to look to get rid of him, what manager is going to want to come in and take charge of a squad who have struggled at points without even having the option of adding to it with his own personnel?
Depends what the philosophy of that manager is. If it's somebody who's eager to work with young players and is steeped in all things Chelsea and perhaps is cutting his teeth currently in the Championship with a former coach.
Who could that be?
I would imagine it'd be quite appealing.
Do you think they'll call it Frank Lampard's Chelsea if that happens, Dom?
Well, possibly. It's dangerous to think about the hypotheticals of this because, you know, if the transfer ban does come into effect in the summer of 2020, which seems the likeliest scenario given that the courts for arbitration for sport would drag, are we seriously going to sit here and debate whether the current Chelsea head coach, Maurizio Sarri, is likely to be in charge at the end of 2020? Well, you know, he could be, potentially. In the last week has been excellent. The previous 4 weeks weren't so clever. But this isn't a club that really, realistically thinks long term. If they have a transfer ban imposed on them for two windows, maybe they do change the way they think, and maybe they do lean more heavily on the academy. But again, we're talking hypothetically, because they could have absolutely blitzed the market like Barcelona did by then. They could go out next summer and Abramovich could flex his muscles and spend, you know, £500 million in the market, and suddenly you have a completely different team that's ready and waiting for the next year when they can't add to the ranks. But
is that not a problem with the rule then, Dom, in the sense that if you know you're going to have a transfer ban and you can simply do all of your business preemptively, is there any real point in having that particular punishment at all?
Well, but you're not going to rip up. You're not going to deny clubs the option of going to CAF. FIFA have closed one loophole. I mean, they have made sure that the 8.5 months that Real Madrid had before that their appeal was heard, and the 6 months I think it was with Barcelona, that doesn't happen anymore. They're now looking to get this all concluded. The appeals process within 2 months. So they have closed it. But I don't see how they can stop, you know, the clubs having the option of going to CAF. So, yeah, it does pose clubs with certain problems, I mean, and questions. I mean, you know, if Chelsea spend £500 million, are they going to fail financial fair play?
I mean, probably.
There are further implications. I actually think, I suspect that there are a lot of Chelsea supporters out there that think the same way, that in many ways, having a transfer ban would actually do the club quite some good in some respects. It would actually get them focusing on the talent that supporters chant these kids' names throughout games, even when, you know, 2:30-somethings are running riot like they did last night. They're still calling for the 18-year-old winger to get on the pitch. You would see a lot more of those players. Look, it may be that there's a period of pain, and Chelsea aren't competing in the Champions League or competing even for Europe.
Have they ever enjoyed that pain? They've never enjoyed that pain, Chelsea. They've always tried to do something about it, though, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, but they may not be able to in the conventional way. Yeah. I mean, but then it could come out a bit stronger. I mean, there's got to be the potential there. But absolutely, these kids are really that good, and the academy is really that good. And I'm not going to argue that it isn't, because I think some of the kids that they produce and are producing are absolutely phenomenal. But they've got to be given a chance, and maybe this will be the opportunity to do that.
You said that Sarri had improved the last couple of weeks. What do you think he's done in particular?
I think he's being pragmatic. He's being what everybody wanted him to be for the first, you know, after that excellent early start petered out. I mean, no one's going to be able to convince me that performance at Wembley, which was excellent, by the way, was a Sarri ball performance. No. It wasn't anything Sarri ball about it. It was more Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho, not quite as good as those.
It's a bit of a mixture at the moment, the impression. I mean, last night's performance was they play these little triangles, which is clearly him, but then Luis is playing these 50-yard balls, which aren't actually supposed to be part of the Cerismo setup, you know, so it's like a combination. So I think they've all...
But that's good, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
That's logical.
Absolutely. Because they're so used to playing defensively and on the break. So if you can have the combination, I think some players can't deal with it. I think Barkley is a bit like a fish out of water doing doing it because he wants to express himself, but he's trying. You can almost see the rigidity. He's trying to do what he's been told to do. But some of them are just getting on with it how they'd normally play. But I think one of the reasons that Odoi isn't picked is because he's not defensively as good as both Pedro and Willian are, and that's the trouble, is everybody wants him into the side, and yet he knows that the plan works better, and Pedro's playing out of his skin at the moment. It's quite phenomenal. He should have scored four last night. You couldn't drop either of those. So therefore Odoi isn't going to be getting a start.
But I think there is an issue, and you could argue that actually he could have dropped them for a match in the Europa League against Dynamo Kiev.
Well, we didn't know how they were going to play, though, did we?
No, but, you know, I think a lot of Chelsea supporters were quite disgruntled last night that he didn't get a start, and clearly were very delighted that he came on, weren't they?
Yeah, but I would be properly disgruntled as a Chelsea fan if I was a Chelsea fan in Kiev next week if they don't play.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm counting Loftus-Cheek in there as well, by the way. Because having seen Loftus-Cheek playing well for my club last season, I just wish he could get some luck with his back and could get a run of games and get a manager he trusts in what he can offer defensively as well as offensively.
He's doing yoga, isn't he, apparently?
Yeah, which is... Yeah, we all get to a certain age where we have to start doing things like that. Don't we? Like, yoga.
Tell me about it, Tom. Well, I'm not going to admit that on air, but yes.
Now keep weight training. Keep weight training. There's the advice to give you, because I'm doing that, and I'm 90.
Dom, the yoga seems to be working, because that's now a couple of good results on the spin for Sarri. Is his job now, if not safe, slightly safer than it was?
Safer than it was, but I'm not... What happens if Wolves win at Stamford Bridge?
Then it won't be.
that is the reality of life managing Chelsea at the moment. But I don't think... they've still got the two opportunities of qualifying for the Champions League. And that is benefiting Sarri at the moment. The moment those opportunities veer away from him or are snuffed out altogether, then he's in trouble again. So there was a period when we were talking about him being a dead man walking, only 10 days back, when Chelsea could have gone 6 points. They lost to Spurs. They could have gone 6 points, potentially.
And lost to Fulham, of course. Which they almost drew anyway.
Yeah. I don't think anyone really saw that coming, though, did they?
No.
To be honest. But the way that they performed in those games, and the fact that the fellow is now changing and showing a willingness to adapt and to be more pragmatic and inevitably bringing better out of his players. I mean, Kante the last few days, last few games has been fantastic again because he's actually allowed to sit in alongside Jorginho sometimes.
Yes.
He's not always looking for the right wing and running up and down.
But I wondered if that was his own fault, you know, that he was pressing too far up, because Napoli teams have always had somebody playing alongside Jorginho. But, I mean, his theory is that you wouldn't matter if anybody was on Jorginho because the ball's being passed so quickly. But it's not with Chelsea. It's not happening.
I did an interview with Jorginho this week, which is in tomorrow's paper, and part of me actually feels quite sorry for him because... he inevitably is a sort of poster boy.
He's
for
a whipping boy, isn't he? Yeah.
And he's become the scapegoat. Whenever Sarri's team has suffered, it's because of him. And I don't always think he's done himself too many favours. But he's a man who's trying to adjust to a very alien league. Where opponents stamp all over him in the first 5 minutes of the game, and that never happened before.
And the referees do nothing about it, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think I'd like to see more from him in games like last night. He disappointed me last night. I didn't think there were any flashes of what he could do last night. But you know, when you see what he can do, like he did against Fulham when Fulham weren't good enough to put anyone on him.
Yes, yes.
He actually absolutely ran that game for an hour.
And it was a great goal, of course. Confused lots of Chelsea fans.
Dom, both Jorginho and Sarri will, of course, now be looking towards the weekend, towards the Wolves fixture, which we must do too. What do you think is going to happen? Can I press you for a score prediction?
I think this will be really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Wolves
Wolves are not this expansive, beautiful passing team that blow sides away. They're stingy, awkward, and play on the counter, and they're difficult to break down. And if they bring their A game, the performances they put in against quite a lot of the top six already this season, not least in holding in there at Molineux against Chelsea and then scoring the two goals in the second half, it could be a really awkward afternoon for a Chelsea team that inevitably members of that side will be tired and will be leggy. He will make six or seven changes again in a bid to freshen things up, and I suspect a lot of it will not depend on Chelsea scoring the first goal, probably Chelsea scoring the second goal and getting being two up, because I don't think Wolves come back from two up at Chelsea. But
well, so unless they score three goals in the space of 5 minutes rather than just two earlier in the season.
I don't see that happening. I think Chelsea then can play on the counter themselves, and they have the capabilities to sit there. They also play with more confidence than they were 2 weeks ago. But I do think it'll be really awkward. I don't think it'll be a breeze in the park against a promoted team. I think it will be a difficult afternoon's work.
Well, it does sound like a tough one, but fingers crossed for a good result. Sarri certainly needs one. Dom, thank you ever so much for joining us. That was Dom Fifield.
Thanks,
there.
Dom. Cheers, Dom.
London football correspondent for The Guardian. Stay where you are, because coming up, we'll be getting our teeth into a Kiev.
Your news, your views, your voice. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Now, Pedro was electric last night. He got a goal. He was involved with everything. But he could have had a hatful. Was he too profligate?
Yes. Completely and utterly, yeah. He should have put his foot through that one that he hit straight. And the keeper also was guessed fantastically. And I thought the keeper then should have saved the Odoi one.
Apparently, somebody on Twitter last night, I think it might have been Dean Mears, I could be wrong, but said that the keeper, the Dynamo Kiev keeper, looked like a young Stamford Chidge.
Really?
But I was too far away to be able to see.
Oh. I saw, because I was watching on TV, I saw what he looked like, David, and I don't think that's a compliment. I think you should reject that comparison.
I'm going to have to... Do you know what his name is? Because I'll Google him and find out.
Myself.
And then if I find out that that's true, I'll be suing you, Dean Mears.
Yeah.
What can I sue him for? Anything alike.
You could simply
libel, slander, defamation. That's the one.
Defamation of clothing.
Of clothing?
Yeah.
What about of facial expressions?
Oh, I didn't think of that one. Yeah, okay, if you like.
Okay, I'll do him for that. Okay, have we found him yet, Johnny?
Yeah, the goalkeeper in question is called Dennis Boyko.
And he's a moose.
Is that one N or two?
That is one N and a Y. And I don't think...
I got you. Like Denise.
Denise.
lovely name.
As in the Blondie song.
Yes, Denise.
Oh, Denise.
Denise.
Yeah,
right.
Denise, yeah.
So what was his second name?
Boyko. B-O-Y-K-O. I think he looks more like Love Sport's James Gray,
does he?
Than David Chidge.
I'm going to have a look.
He looks nothing like me.
He looks nothing like you at all, does he?
Not even a young me. No, which was a much better version of the one you've got now.
Is he Ukrainian?
Yes.
No, but he might not have been,
He looks like Oliver Giroud from the pictures I've got here.
Perhaps you're looking at Giroud.
Look at that. There you go. That's him. Him. Me. Him. Me. No.
Oh, you're much better.
Great radio,
isn't
this,
Johnny? Better looking than that.
Thank you, Johnny.
I think we need a description. We had a detailed analysis of Olivier Giroud's beard at the beginning of the show.
We like beards.
I think we need to know about Dennis Boyko's beard for those listening.
What do we need to know about it?
Well, give us a breakdown. What's
actually, it's very... His haircut and his beard are very similar, but I think it's because they're both hipsters.
Yeah, he's a hipster.
They've probably got those tattoos.
And it's not quite Hoxton beard, though.
He's got an under beard.
Yes.
And he's got a rather wispy moustache, and he's got a bit round about that bit there, just at the bottom, he's got a bit of it, and then he's got shaved at the side, and it's all on top.
Yeah. It's like Dan. He looks like Chiellini, doesn't he? He's another one of our group. He looks like... He is the spit of Chiellini, isn't he?
Chiellini plays.
But I've never seen him in the same
Juventus.
Room. Yeah, I've never seen him in the same room.
I don't think he looks like him at all.
He looks like spit of him, man. Anyway,
I think he looks
football,
like Icardi. Looks like Icardi.
Pedro is...
Icardi? I'd like a Bacardi. And Coke, please. Thank you.
Pedro has actually been criticised quite a lot this season, hasn't he?
Well, they've all been... Well, everybody's criticised everybody, haven't they, really?
Pedro in particular,
doing what?
Well, specifically in relation...
He looks like Eli Wallach when he was younger, by the way.
Specifically in relation to Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Well, no, I think that's an unfair way round, to be honest, Johnny, because the only reason you know, Willian and Pedro have been... Willian's always had this kind of mad, balmy, you know... I have to be very careful what I say in case I swear, but, you know, the kind of kids that stay in their bedrooms who are very young and issue hate spewing forth on Twitter. Yeah. Willian has a whole gang of people who can't stand him for some reason, which is totally unwarranted in my view. And Pedro, I think they both get hate because, of course, they want Hudson-Odoi to play, which is kind of what Dom was saying a minute ago, and I think there's a lot of truth to that.
But also, I don't think the fans shouting out a player's name should be enough for them to get on the pitch. You know,
I thought that's what happened. If we actually shout loud enough.
Yeah, like, yeah, but that's what I'm afraid.
It's like the pantomime. Some people, if we shout loud enough, they bring him
will
on.
Happen. Yeah, that's what.
Oh,
some,
no, he won't.
Some supporters think.
Jonathan, I take your point absolutely there, but surely one reason that might be enough to get a player on the pitch is the fact that
he's better than the others.
Well, not just that, he might not be better than the others, but at the point
aren't
where
doing
you've
very
got
well.
Well, not even that. When you've got Bayern Munich sniffing around,
no. But what you have to remember here is that allegedly he'll get a large amount of money. Won't he, Odoi?
Well, he'll get a large amount of money, whatever.
Yeah, so therefore...
His brother will, who is his agent.
I'm just going to say, and his agent, who is his brother, will. So therefore, there are other strings being pulled.
No, absolutely, but at the point where the player isn't happy with the amount of football he's getting at Stamford Bridge, might it not make sense to give him...
Just to play him whenever.
Time out. Look, yes, of course it would.
No, but he wasn't sure how Kev were playing.
Hang on. Reel back a second to answer Johnny's point.
Why?
Because I want to answer it, and it's interesting. The point is that he's only 18. Very few kids, unless they're absolutely dynamite, are going to get a chance in the first team at an elite club like Chelsea when they're having to replace or dispose or displace even a seasoned international, which is what we've got. Chelsea... Yes, arguably, should be saying to Maurizio Sarri, look, mate, we actually think this guy's good. We know he's not going to be perhaps good enough now, but he will be a world star in about 2 years' time. We do not want him going to Bayern Munich, so blooming well play him every week. They clearly haven't said that, otherwise Sarri would be. Or Sarri doesn't care, because he's probably going to get sacked soon anyway.
Or Sarri says, I'm sorry, you're not going to tell me what to do.
Well, a lot of managers might walk if
enough.
You do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the corollary of that, which we've been talking about on the programme for weeks and weeks, is that Chelsea need to get their priorities right. Is it going to put pressure on a manager every year to say they've got to finish in the top four and win something, or is it to develop new players or young players? If it's the former, then we'll never develop any young players. That's the problem.
No, and you could take the Klopp or the Pochettino model of players who... of managers who haven't won anything,
exactly that,
but have been given time at
there's
their
the dilemma,
and are now on the absolute
once
precipice.
Again, that sentence: they haven't won anything.
No, exactly. Of course, but you
it's
do.
So important.
No, it is
Chelsea,
absolutely.
16
Jonathan.
Trophies in 16 years, whatever it is. All these other teams, nothing.
Absolutely, so, but at the point where you have great players coming through, and you have a chance to perhaps create a team greater than one that's
of
just
your own.
Average. Well, not just one of your own, although that is important. 16 in 16 years is an average of one a year, right? Even my maths can handle that. That's a phenomenal record. But what if you had talent coming through where, if you nurtured it, you could better that ratio, you could become a dominant force.
Lots of huge hypothetical ifs.
But the fact
it's always
the facts
don't bear that out. Name me one club in the Premier League that have done that.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's done that, but
exactly.
In terms of...
why do you think that is?
In terms of giving a manager time, there are two clubs who've done it, and they're both above Chelsea in the Premier League table, Tottenham and Liverpool.
What if they won in the last 15 years?
Again.
They haven't, but the point...
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But the point that I'm making is that you're...
Spurious, because they haven't won anything.
You're trying to build a side, and the trophies may then
may.
Come.
Unlikely to.
There's no room for ifs, buts and maybes at Chelsea. And it's not...
But is this why there isn't any room for youth talent at Chelsea either?
Hang on. It's not because we don't want it, because I think most supporters love for nothing more than to see homegrown players go on and play for their team. Chelsea is not a football club, Johnny. It's a business. And the business demands that they get into the top four every year and win trophies so that they can sell flaming shirts in Ulaanbaatar in Chicago and wherever. That's all they care about.
It's not only that. It's the level of performance that has to be...
No, I don't know the performance.
For me, it is. Well,
for you and I. Yeah, you and me.
Our memories is like when Alan Hudson played, I'm going back to 1970.
When he got on the team when he was 17.
He was completely fantastic. Yeah. There is no comparison between Odoi and his performances and Hudson.
Right. He's a good prospect.
He's a very good prospect. At the moment, he doesn't defend well enough. This is why he doesn't get in.
As a final question on Hudson-Odoi, I offered you two options, and again, this is a hypothetical if, but they have to be if we're talking about anything in the future. Yeah. So, you can have a Europa League and Hudson-Odoi walks,
or you cannot win a Europa League and you keep Hudson-Odoi. What's it to be?
I'd keep Hudson-Odoi because we've won the Europa League. Don't really care about it.
No, but it would mean getting into Europe. So I would...
Well, but we're getting the top four.
We're getting the top four as well. Yeah, that's, you didn't add that.
Yeah.
Well, OK,
Johnny,
we'll
assume... You should know by now that I always cheat.
We'll assume that you're not going to finish in the top four.
Well, therefore, you'd take the Europa League and let him go.
Would you?
I'm not sure.
Chidge, would you take that?
I would probably rather keep Hudson-Odoi, actually, because, again, you know, I don't care whether we're in the top four or not.
But the point you just made about Chelsea being a business...
No, they care about it. I don't.
Okay.
That's different.
But from their point of view, being in the Champions League, of course, you get all that TV money. I just think it might be...
Well, it's not even the TV money, actually. I mean, you do get a fair amount in the Champions League, but Chelsea make far more money from what they sell. I mean, yes, the TV rights around the world, but also all the merchandise and everything else. They see it as a global brand and expanding that global brand. And to do that, they need to ride on the... or piggyback on the success of the Premier League and the Champions League. That's basically why they do this.
One potential counter-argument to that philosophy could be the fact that Manchester United have had quite a few years off the boil. They had quite
a
few years out,
Johnny,
of the Champions
they're
League.
Huge.
They are huge. They're bigger than Chelsea, but they actually have kept growing commercially because of the excellent job that Ed Woodward is doing as a businessman.
Well, no, I don't agree. I think that you know, Man United's scale... and economies of scale as a result have been huge way before Ed Woodward joined. You know?
No, but if you look at the extent to which their revenue has grown since he joined, it is inarguable that whatever you think about him as a football man, he's doing an exceptional job.
Despite what's been going on the pitch.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but hang on, look at brands and look at how they grow. If you're like up here, you're huge, right? And then you try and grow it more, it's a lot easier than if you're down here. Because if you're down here, you've got a lot further
to go. But Chelsea
aren't... It's called economies of scale.
Yeah, but Chelsea aren't all the way down there, are they?
No, they're not. But they're not Man United in terms of... I mean, Man United are arguably the biggest club in the world.
They are. But maybe Chelsea...
Look at the Deloitte report. We come about eighth. They consistently come first or second.
But could Chelsea not possibly get there with the talent of a sensational...
But it has nothing to do with the talent. It has everything to do with the business model. And that's why Chelsea focus on that.
OK, well, that will remain their focus on the young talent front. Coming up, a chat about a certain Mr. Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Who?
This is Love Sport.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We've been discussing, debating, arguing even about Callum Hudson-Odoi. What is the value of that chant, "He's one of our own"? Another product of Chelsea's own youth system is Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He also featured last night, albeit off the bench as well, against Dynamo Kiev. He impressed and the fans seemed to enjoy his involvement. Gentlemen, does he have a future at the club?
Of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because as we were saying when we were off air, you know, it's an interesting counterpoint to Hudson-Odoi, who we talked about in the last part, who's obviously a lot younger than Loftus-Cheek, a lot less experienced.
He's 23, isn't he, Loftus-Cheek?
Yeah, he's been around... I mean, our argument with Loftus-Cheek is that he should have been, you know, getting chances since he was about 18 too, because he's clearly a phenomenal talent.
But I think he's matured now,
He has. Yeah, he's learning. He's getting stronger, of course. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I read an article the other week, actually, that said that football... Well, you know, people, not footballers, but our brains don't fully develop until we're about 25, 26.
Mine hasn't developed yet.
No, I have noticed this, Jonathan. I didn't want to say anything, but... You know, so that is an interesting aspect which we always seem to ignore in football, because we always talk about their physical development. And I mean, you know, when you look at Michael Owen, who broke into the game when he was, I mean, exploded into the game, didn't he, as a 17-year-old, and yet he didn't last long. You know,
Rooney was another example.
Yeah, I mean, Rooney,
16 in his case.
Yeah, Rooney was very young. I mean, he did have a long career, though, to be fair to Rooney, but Owen didn't.
No.
And they do reckon that if you played that regularly at this level at that age, then it can really screw you up later. So
I'm never convinced by that argument, Chidge, in the sense that...
I've got a PhD in biomed... No, I haven't.
Yeah,
but he would have believed that, wouldn't he?
I'd have told him you hadn't.
For every Michael Owen, we have a Ryan Giggs, who, you know, similarly broke through as a wonder kid, still playing into his 40s. Yeah. So I think the question about whether that affects how you should play youth, I'm not sure it does.
No, I'm just making a point. I mean, the bottom line is, I think Loftus-Cheek is good enough to play in that side. And again, it's like the Hudson-Odoi argument. If you see a midfield with Kante, Jorginho and Kovacic or Barkley playing, people are looking at it. Football supporters are not stupid, contrary to popular opinion. They've watched an awful lot of football. They see it every week. They're there. And they can see that Loftus-Cheek offers much more of attacking threat than Barkley or Kovacic.
So
he should be playing.
Would you start him?
I would.
Either of them?
I would. He's good enough. Play him.
He's worried about his back though, at the moment.
That's the only problem, isn't it? Because he does go through these injury spells. Dom was saying, Dom's a Palace fan, if you didn't realise when we were speaking to him.
Right.
So you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because he didn't get injured there.
Well, similarly, we've spoken to some other people here who've been Palace fans
who said
the same.
They love him.
Yeah, that he played wonderfully.
He's a very good player.
But he played in a different position, though, didn't he? Because I think he played in the right position last night, didn't he? Which was midfield rather than wing, because he's not a winger. But I don't think he's quite sure of where he's supposed to be playing.
I think the midfield suited him much.
Suits him
I think that is actually, you're right there. I think that has often been a problem with him. And I think also, I think that's conflated with the fact that he's young, so he has to get a chance wherever he can get a chance.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think a lot of managers have not quite known what his best position is, but I agree with you. I think it's midfield. I mean, the Willian goal, which we haven't talked about, was absolutely unbelievably superb.
And also exactly the same as the one he scored in the
slightly better, but very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does beg the question why he can't actually find a Chelsea player when he takes a corner.
Yes, because it's bizarre. They cannot hit.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. I thought Callum Hudson-Odoi's goal was really Loftus-Cheek's goal. I mean, what he did to set that up was superb. And I just thought how lovely that these two homegrown players combined in the way they did to score such a fabulous goal. It was really good.
Well, down
but
to Pedro's cross, of course.
But, you know, Loftus-Cheek again, who was effectively playing on
the
left.
He should have scored, though, Loftus-Cheek, didn't he? Blazed over the bar when it was actually easy to score.
They were,
as you said earlier, very poor. They were very poor.
Yeah, they were.
It should have been a fiver. Shouldn't it? Which case he could have then played the youth as much as he liked.
We could have sang R for Chelsea then, maybe.
Nice to see as well that Hudson-Odoi thanked Loftus-Cheek specifically on Twitter after the game.
So
certainly a sense of camaraderie.
They also hugged very, very erotically together.
That's something we always like to see.
We like to highlight those moments.
We do.
Particularly when there are nice beards on show. Mm. Touching on the Willian thing, the corners have obviously...
Exactly, I thought he was going to say Willy and... Yeah.
Have clearly been a problem for Chelsea.
No, they haven't.
Well, they have in terms of the accuracy of Willian's
corners. Corners, I accept. But they are good players who've played well for Chelsea.
No, absolutely. But speaking specifically about the corners, Willian needs to improve his delivery. But equally, is there a question of placing some blame on Maurizio Sarri's shoulders? Because as manager, at that point, do you not just change the corner taker?
This has been going on for years. This is predates Willian. No,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's even I, with my limited experience of park football in the Chiswickham District League Division 7, always manage to loft the ball rather elegantly into the penalty area. So you just lean back a bit.
You didn't have, however, few thousand Ukrainians calling you names while you were trying to do it.
I can deal with that. I could have dealt with that. It wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't cause me... That would make me even more eager to float the ball into the penalty area.
I see.
I don't get this business. I can get it if it's a training ground ploy and you're doing it because the ball needs to be flicked on at the near post.
Mm.
But just putting it, you know, into the mixer, as it were, right in the centre...
The proverbial mixer.
To stick it in there isn't that difficult. And particularly even at pace. So I'm always dismayed when there isn't a specialist corner take, or he's supposed to be him and he just can't do it, considering that he can accurately hit the ball into the corner of the net as he did last night with and it's the sweet spot of the net that you can't, it's you have to be a master of free kicks to hit it there,
and it's the same skill you'd have thought.
I mean, it's a
dead ball, you're not under any pressure from other players, and how
and
can
it
you
dips.
Strike one
and
perfectly?
It dips. But, yeah, it swings.
As I said, this is a problem. I mean, you know, we've talked about this for years, haven't we, on the show. I mean, the last two people to be able to take corners at Chelsea were Graham Lasso and Franco Zola.
Yes.
Nobody's been able to take one since.
Yes. Well, it's something like 240 corners we've taken in two seasons or something and scored once or something.
Well, that's not just
ludicrous.
The poor delivery, actually, I don't think, but certainly
the poor heading ability.
Was Rudiger against United?
No, and Luiz as well. I've just made that stat up.
We have scored a few. I've got a lovely tweet from the lovely Dean Mears. Dean writes for us very regularly on the Chelsea Fancast website, and he says he thinks that, well, the first thing he says is that I can't sue him because he hasn't got anything worth having, which is a fair point, Dean.
That wouldn't stop you suing him.
No,
it might just make it pointless.
It would make it pointless, and I now concede that point, and I now won't sue you, Dean. Anyway, he thinks Jonathan May, but we don't know why.
No,
yet.
I don't know why.
Okay. Anyway, he thinks that Sarri got it all right last night. Played experienced wingers to limit the threat of Kiev's key players. Won the game comfortably. Hudson-Odoi got minutes and scored. We go into a game 4 days before Everton with a comfortable cushion, unlike Arsenal, which I think is all absolutely spot on.
Absolutely spot on. Arsenal, well, I don't want to talk about Arsenal, but terrible in comparison.
Yeah.
And I think returning quickly to the Hudson-Odoi point, I think the point that's being made there is an excellent one. If you bring a kid on for the end of a game and he scores a goal, everyone will be happy. Coming up, we'll be doing our very best to answer that central question. Is the tie done and dusted?
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
3-0 at home is an absolutely excellent result in any tie involving two legs. Not only have you got that big lead, crucially, yeah, there is no away goal.
Four or five would have been better, though.
Four or
six,
five.
And they should
You're
have
so
scored
greedy.
Those.
Or 12.
I love it. Would, yeah, 12 would have been wonderful.
13-0.
13. Chelsea beat Crewe Alexandra 13-2. And I was there.
Well, then, didn't we beat Jeannie Hodgson with a one-arm player?
Yeah,
one-arm player. With glasses.
Yeah, that was so weird.
You were there,
it?
Weren't you?
Yeah, I was that one-arm player.
No. You were there.
I was there, yeah.
Only one-arm, but taking a perfect
corner. This is true. This is absolutely true. This is a true story. This is in the Cup Winners' Cup in 72, wasn't it? Because it wasn't the year we won. It was the next year, wasn't it?
Then we went out in the next...
Yeah, we did some unheard-of team from
Belgium,
Netherlands.
Wasn't it? Yeah, I can't remember.
Anyway, whatever. Yeah. We digress.
Yeah.
But three goals. It's not 4, 5, 6,
no,
or indeed
right.
13.
Should
but
be done and
decent.
Dusted.
Is it done
and
dusted?
Well, they've got to score four. I can't see them scoring four.
But also, they can't deal with the press. I don't mean the...
the
fourth
estate.
I mean, I mean the... The pressing, the pressing game, they were completely incapable of dealing with it. And you said they kept kicking the ball out because they just didn't know what
to do. Because they're not very good, are they?
No, but we keep going on about this. They played Ajax really well in the group stage.
Did they really?
Yeah.
But Ajax were in the Champions League.
Yeah, but they were in the Champions League.
Oh, were Kiev in the Champions
League?
Yes.
I
didn't realise that.
They finished bottom, I think.
Oh, God, so they're better than I thought they were.
Yeah,
well,
much better.
It also comes down, of course, to which country you're qualifying from, right? So qualifying from Ukraine, your only real competition domestically, if we're being honest, is Shakhtar Donetsk. So you do have more of a chance to get in. Talking about Ajax there... It's important to remember that we have seen one massive super club in the Champions League overlook the talents of a smaller team. Real Madrid took a first leg lead home, of course, to the Bernabeu. Ajax visited and made them look very, very silly in their own backyard. Is perhaps being overconfident a worry for Chelsea?
I know, I don't think they'll have that because I think he'll instill into them that they shouldn't be like that. It's a question of who he plays as well. He just seemed to give people a chance. I mean, we never thought Zappa Costa would play right wing last night, did we?
Yeah.
We hoped that he wouldn't. Yeah. He didn't. Not that he played badly. He didn't play very well. He was all right.
It's a fair point, actually, you make there, John. And I mean, because Chelsea fans like nothing more than a moan. You know, why do you think we've done a podcast for 11 years? Because we just like to moan. I mean, there's no other reason, is there? But...
Well, you do. I just...
Well, OK. I moan, you like to listen to me moan.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the bottom line is that actually the reality is that Sarri has been fairly good at... I think he could make a case for him being better at playing some of the younger players than, for example, Conte or Mourinho.
Mourinho would never have done it.
I mean, Mourinho probably would have sold Hudson-Odoi by now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have allowed the £40 million to come in, £40 million bid, and he'd probably sold Willian if there'd been a bid for him. I think that was made up.
I mean, he'd have sold Hudson-Odoi for £40 million and spent £80 million on buying Papa Djaboli, or whatever his name was.
Djaboli.
Or Baba Raymond.
Yeah, Baba Raymond. Oh, poor. Oh, that was terrible.
Awful, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm going to say that everybody's gone on about this week about United.
United
having won in
they were lucky,
PSG.
Man. They were lucky.
And saying because they played the Ute, as you said. But the reason they played the Ute
was
injuries. Because they didn't have any. The players were all injured.
They also didn't really play the Ute. I mean, Tati Chong and, of course, Mason Greenwood, who's very highly rated, were on the pitch at the end of the game. They didn't start the game on it. So
it's been used as an opportunity for Chelsea fans to once again come in and say, look, they played the youth and they beat PSG. But they beat PSG with the help of VAR, of course.
Who does he play for?
VAR. Oh. He played for...
PSG.
Pronounced VAR.
Oh,
he's
okay.
French.
The trouble is, the whole argument's confused somewhat for Chelsea and Chelsea supporters, and the confusion arises from the fact that we've got and have had for the last 10 years, I'd say, the most talented youth academy in arguably the world, I would say, and therefore a crop of youngsters who are equally talented. I mean, five of Chelsea's youth academy played in the England under-17 side that won the World Cup.
And Hudson-Odoi was the star, actually, alongside Phil Foden.
And Sanchez, wasn't it? Sancho. Yeah, Sancho, you know. So, therefore, we know they're good. So, therefore, we expect them to play. And, of course, nothing's changed in that respect, and they probably won't.
Well, with that in mind, 3-0 up, No away goals conceded. We've seen, perhaps, that Dinamo Kiev aren't the most troubling side. If you were Sarri, would you start the likes of Callum Hudson-Odoi in the second leg away in Ukraine?
I'm being Sarri, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No, if I was Sarri,
okay.
Because Sarri wouldn't do it.
Okay, well, if I you might had Sarri's role.
I'd do it.
You
but,
would?
Yeah, but I'd be prepared to whisk them off if things weren't working.
No, absolutely.
All we need is a quick goal, and then 3-1 is suddenly, you know, it all gets a bit wobbly.
But equally, if you get a quick goal, you've got an away goal. It is game over.
Which I'd actually, if they were on the bench, I'd bring him on immediately. But
in the 12th minute?
Yeah, even that. Yeah, I'd do a Mourinho. Mourinho brought Joe Cole off after 20 minutes at St James's Park.
It's not polite, is it?
It wasn't. It was brought in.
The funniest one was Matic when he put him on as a sub and then took him off.
Yes.
Brutal. Chidge, would you play Callum Hudson-Odoi?
What he said.
So Sarri won't, but you would.
Yeah, Sarri won't, but I would. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Encouraging stuff. And I'm assuming Ruben Loftus-Cheek also sneaks into those 11s?
Definitely.
Yeah. With us, but he won't.
He won't.
Interesting. Maybe Sarri could prove us all wrong. Yeah. Maybe someone will.
Well,
have
he has
a word.
Surprised us. Yeah, he has surprised us
he
by changing up
Acosta.
At all. No, exactly. So you know, nothing's settled yet, is it?
Before any of that, he has the mammoth task of Wolverhampton Wanderers to deal with, and we'll be considering that after the news.
This is Love Sport.
Coming up on the second hour of the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, we'll be looking all the way back to the Fulham game at the weekend. Jorginho scores. It's the first goal contribution for the Italian since he signed. Will an increased output placate some slightly disappointed supporters? We will, of course, be looking forward as well to Wolves at the weekend. Chelsea came unstuck last time they faced the Black Countryside. Could it be a better result this time around? Let us know. 0208 720 558. But first, it's over to the Sky News Centre for all of your headlines.
On digital radio, online, mobile, and smart speaker. This is Love Sport.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight.
Oh!
They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Chelsea Fan Show here with me, Johnny Burrow, and Stamford Chidge and Jonathan Chelsea. Kidd from the Chelsea Fancast. Now, at the weekend, it was 3 points, Chelsea. It was 3 points against Fulham, but it wasn't quite as comfortable or as confident as it might have been.
No. I thought Sarri's excuse after the game was quite valid because they did absolutely look exhausted after 60 minutes and Fulham just went into the ascendancy. But we were having a good old chinwag about this, and I wrote a very, very fine article.
Did
you read it?
No, but I'm sure it would have been.
I'm disappointed. You looked like you'd read it then.
Yes, I did. I gave the impression.
First time for a reading.
Yes,
isn't it?
No, I lied.
But no, there is I think there's a huge kind of conundrum stroke dichotomy for Chelsea and Sarri at the moment, which is, you know, Dom alluded to it earlier on, didn't he, in his phone call. But if we adopt a more pragmatic approach against good teams and defend a little bit deeper, it makes us far more defensively solid, but we create absolutely nothing. I mean, we have one shot on target in 210 minutes against Spurs and City, for example. Now, Fulham, we had something like 27 shots, but they had 20. And actually, a better team would have punished us because the minute he plays Sarri ball, we get ripped to pieces at the back and we can't cope.
Well, no, because they just get us
we'll
on the break
spaces,
every time.
Yeah,
his
I know,
big thing
obvious.
is to attack for 90% of the match is what he wants with possession. And it just doesn't work in this
league. No, not the Premier League.
No.
But what is the solution then for Sarri? Because on the one hand, you've got this attempting to play expansively gets you destroyed 6-0 by Man City, but then if you're not creating chances the rest of the time, there has to be some kind of golden mean, doesn't there?
I think it should be depending on the team you're playing against. I think Man City at home, bizarrely, I think where they paid no attention to Sarri ball at all and just played a kind of Conte performance, and they beat them 2-0. And the same with the Spurs game in the League Cup. That was a very similar performance. And in the Spurs
because,
league
I mean, this
game.
Is the irony of what we all know. And I mean, we've been saying this since the beginning of the season, that Sarri's trying to play this style of football, not only in a league where it doesn't work, but with players you don't know how to play it and can't play it, because these players are suited to playing counter-attack football, which is basically what our game's been for the last 5 years, at least. Yeah. Maybe more. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, is there a solution
Other than Pedro, I think certain players. But it's that's the kind of Barcelona philosophy, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the solution,
Hazard
I suppose,
too's quite ticky-tacker, isn't
but
it?
I think Hazard, unfortunately, doesn't fit in Sarismo at all.
But he's a dribbler, mate.
Yeah, not only is
and
he.
And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
not only is he a dribbler, but he's not a great defensive player.
No, doesn't
and
do
what
that.
He likes, Sarri, is the players who come back.
But they've
well
all been
defend.
Like that. Mourinho like
every
that. Conte
time.
Like
absolutely.
That. The only one who. I mean, I don't think Carlo Ancelotti. Was that
no, he didn't
about it,
care. Look what happened. We won the double.
Yeah,
but then we went out in the quarterfinals over the Champions League.
We had two strikers under Ancelotti, didn't we?
We did
all the time.
Yeah, wouldn't it be wonderful?
Great football.
But I actually think that Higuain is getting better and better. I thought the first goal he scored against
Strikers goal, wasn't it?
Wonderful.
I love that.
I was in the Hammersmith end, unfortunately, and I had to really sit on my hands. Oh God, I twitched. I wanted to go, and I realised nobody else is getting up. Jonathan, don't they'll kill you?
Did you have like a Doctor Strangelove moment?
Yes, I had.
You could have blamed it like that.
I had a mixed reaction to Higuain because that first finish was fantastic, but I have to confess I also had him in my fantasy team, so the fact that he could and arguably should have got two and possibly three didn't make me feel particularly delighted.
They were all shouting out you fat beep who ate all the pies in the Fulham end, which I thought was unfair, but he is possibly slightly not quite fit yet.
Well, I mean, I did call him Pigwain before he signed, which
is
a bit naughty.
You did.
Wasn't
you were
it?
A bit horrid. No,
he was brought in as a striker with a pedigree, not just for goal scoring, but for being clinical in the
pies.
Box, and of course for eating
and
pies,
for being a bit mad,
all shapes and sizes,
and
for
not,
being a bit mad,
and he wasn't very good in terms of team bonding and kind of, you know, he would often cause a bit of a ruck. Apparently, he kind of gets his own way a lot.
Well, he's that kind of player, isn't he? Lurking alone in the box.
And apparently, he's
for
a bit
chance.
Of a bottler, Johnny. He doesn't turn up in the big games. I've often been warned about that. But look, hey. I think Jonathan's right. It takes most players an element of time to adapt to the Premier League, particularly if they come from a much slower league like Serie A. What I like about him, which we haven't had since Diego Costa, arguably, is what I would call an instinctive striker. You know, he's a goal scorer. He knows how to score goals, you know. So, and that goal against Fulham proved it to me. And I mean, you know, I think the one where Jorginho flipped it over their defence, that's a classic Napoli move.
Yeah.
But he wasn't far away. That was a good save. And the other one, he basically the ball kind of bounced up a little bit further than he anticipated, so he hoofed it over the bar. But, wasn't far away.
He's more like to score than Giroud.
Well, yes, but I am probably more likely to score
than Giroud. And I'm worse than Johnny Burrows at football. I'm actually not sure
that's true.
No, I haven't, actually.
I thought, though, is there not an argument that you were promised a clinical striker who any sniff of a goal would bag
we
one?
We were promised the infernal goal machine.
You were indeed. Do you think that's
not
what
yet.
Has arrived?
Not yet. No, it
the
will be there.
Pie machine,
it will be there. The infernal, eating machine.
Higuain is a short-term fix for me, and I have no problem with that. But if we haven't got a world-class striker, well, here you go. This is interesting, isn't it? Considering we're talking about the transfer ban, because the one thing that Chelsea need is a world-class striker.
And it's not Tammy Abraham.
No,
everybody.
Tammy should be back next year and given a chance. No doubt. We should have three strikers in that squad.
Yeah, agree.
One of them should be Tammy Abraham.
I think he should go now.
I think actually, I mean, I know it sounds a bit bonkers, but, you know, a world-class striker, you know, real proper world-class striker, plus Batshuayi and Tammy Abraham would be all right.
I think Batshuayi's
an option. Batshuayi's goal for Palace last week was almost the spitting image of Higuain's goal.
Yeah.
Instinctive strike. And, of course, Morata, if he ever finds his, you know what...
Mojo.
Cojones, I think, in Spain. If he ever finds them again, he still belongs
he's
to us.
He's only on loan.
I know.
No, he scored a couple of goals.
Frankly, I'd rather see you play up front than Morata.
I'm good,
you've got more fire
I'm
in Cojones than he has.
I'm good. I've scored several goals for the Chisigan district, let me tell you.
Atleti do, of course, have that clause.
Rovers.
So yeah, but if we can't sell him, mate,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
they might want him. You said if we have a world-class striker, that we're the world-class
striker. So who? How many are there? This is the problem. There are not very many world-class strikers around. Okay, let's presume we don't have a transfer ban. So that means we could buy anybody. Who would we buy right now?
Who's coming to the end of their contracts?
I don't know. Chelsea don't buy players who are over 30.
No.
They want to buy players who are 23, 24. That's a really tough call, I think. You know, because, I mean, who are the best strikers in the world? Lewandowski, I think he's gone off the boil a bit. Suarez
Dzeko's
is still up there. Dzeko's way.
These guys are all coming towards the end.
Exactly. But that shows you how they are, you know, world-class strikers are a very, very rare commodity.
What about Mauro Icardi?
He's a possibility, isn't he?
He's going to have a release clause that comes into force for just a fortnight in the summer. He could be an option.
Yeah.
Another player now based in Milan who I think Chelsea may have missed a trick with is Piatek. Of course, went from Genoa to Milan.
He's been scoring.
He could have been a really, really shrewd addition.
And of course, we should buy Tadic, shouldn't we? What a mistake we made.
No, he's
trouble. It's a joke.
Right. But, I mean, you know... You know, what about Disco? Sorry, Isco.
Not a striker.
Disco.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it is a problem.
Did
I mean, there's a reason.
Did Pulisic play well for Borussia during the week? He didn't.
I don't think he did. Look, it is a problem, but it's not just a problem for Chelsea. You know, the reason why strikers command so much money is not just because, you know, scoring goals is the hardest thing in the game and it commands a huge premium. It's because there are not that many of that kind of quality, you know. Lukaku? No. Harry Kane? Yes, please. I'd have him.
I'd have a shot. Yeah, absolutely definitely. Agree. Completely. You know,
who else in the Premier League do we like? See, Vardy, I would have had a shot, but there's no point having Vardy now.
He's 29,
well, well, not
he's
just
older
that,
than that.
But he's a counter-attack player.
Yeah.
So there's no point having him. So it's a tough,
it's a real tough one.
Tammy Abraham, I'd love to have back, though.
Tammy Abraham, I like the look of, but I think, Jonathan, the point that you were implicitly making there was that he's not going to be the man to do a Drogba to score you 25, 30 goals in the Premier League season.
He's not.
Well, he's not. Someone is going to have to. One striker who's been impressing in the Premier League is Raul Jimenez. He's still on loan at Wolves, but it's looking like that move will become permanent, and Chelsea are going to have to contain him at the weekend if they're going to have even a sniff of 3 points.
Love Sport. Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Now, some Chelsea fans weren't best pleased with Sarri's team selection against Dinamo Kiev. The positive side of that, of course, is that various key players, not least Eden Hazard, were giving a rest and should now start against Wolves. How likely are they to be able to get a result?
If they play as well as they've been playing in the last 3 matches, they should win.
Well,
but
I think they'll all be back, though. That's the first point.
They'll all be playing.
You know, I mean, N'Golo came on as a sub, didn't
yes,
he?
He did, but he'll be there from the beginning. He'll play the same team he normally plays.
So, should we, because I mean, it's really hard to figure out who it'll be, so should we have a go?
Yeah.
Should we, Kepa
yeah.
in goal, Aspie,
Dave,
Louise,
yeah.
Rudiger, Alonso,
yeah.
not Emerson.
Not Emerson.
Okay, Alonso,
no. yeah.
Kante,
yeah.
Jorginho,
Kovacic,
Barkley.
You think he'll play Kovacic?
Now, Barkley played the whole game, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I think, well, you know, he started, put it that way. So.
Yeah, I think you play Kovacic. Kovacic yeah. played well.
Yeah, I think you play Kovacic, because that would be nice and negative.
Yeah.
Well, let me think up front.
I wonder who that
Hazard,
might be. Yeah,
Hazard, Higuain.
And Pedro.
Oh, and Pedro, yeah.
And William will be on the bench.
That's probably it, yeah. yeah. There we go. Really hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've solved that one.
Yeah.
What we haven't solved is the kind of job that those 11 men are actually going to do.
Well, it's going to be hard, Johnny.
It will be tough.
They're a good side.
How should they go about approaching Wolves?
It's difficult because, I mean, you know, they beat us, didn't they, earlier on when we were
all over them again.
We'd just been beaten by Tottenham, and we were a little bit unlucky, to be fair. But we weren't in a particularly good moment at that point. I think we're in better shape now, actually, not least because I think you know, the honeymoon's over for Sarri Ball at the moment. It's a really tricky one because, you see, as Dom said, they are a very good counter-attack side, and, you know, Gibbs White is a real threat. And I think, and the interesting thing is, I saw some footage of their goal last week. I can't even remember who they're playing now, but it had something like 17 passes in the build-up, and somebody tweeted it out. Chelsea fan tweeted it out and said, "Is this what Sarri Ball is?"
Or should be.
Or should be, yeah. And it kind of rang home, really. So they're a very good side. They are tough to beat, and they are very counter-attack. So if we go all gung-ho at them, which you would expect at the home side, they could absolutely, you know, punish us. So I'm not quite sure how to approach
this. Or we might score a couple and then...
Yeah, but they're good defensively.
Yeah,
and they've got Rui Patricio back in goal.
Cody is playing out of his skin, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And he's also slightly...
it's very Scouse, actually, to be honest.
Yeah,
was that, no, you're not going to say
no,
that?
No, I was going to say Scouse. I was going to say just that there's a niggle to him that's a bit... He's a bit...
He's got a bit bitey.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a bit...
He's got a mongrel. Bit a mongrel, as the Aussies would say.
Bit tasty, mate.
Is he a bit tasty?
Yeah, I don't mean in a sexual sense.
I've not had a lick of him yet.
I mean, no, I don't mean that. No, he's not like a lolly.
Isn't he?
No.
Okay. What is he like then?
No, he's just like a bloke.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you know, they're a good side, and I think Espirito Santo is a good manager too.
There's a beard for you.
Yeah, there is a beard. Yeah.
That's a bit of a Hoxton beard though, really.
Yeah, or a sort of shaman's beard.
Yeah, it's almost Amish.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Scottish then.
Yeah, and that would be Hamish.
Oh, right, sorry.
Similar.
Anyway, I'm actually really worried about this match because I'm looking at it and thinking, knowing how we play and knowing the kind of players we have, I'm not quite sure how we would set up with that at all. It's really, it's quite a conundrum.
Who is it who's worrying you most? I mean, the two men who've been scoring the goals
combining very well together
are Jimenez and Jota. Jota in particular was someone who many tipped to be really impressive this season, scored a lot of goals in the Championship, only now really finding his feet in the top division. Is he going to cause you problems?
Yes, he probably is, but I think, you know, thinking on it, actually, in terms of how we'd approach it, I would possibly approach it like we approached the Spurs game. You know, Spurs are a good side defensively and are very dangerous on their counter-attack, and we cope with that well. And I don't think it was just by being, you know, very kind of parking the bus and Mourinho-like.
We had a go at them. Yeah.
We got into them.
Yeah.
Roughed them up
and
a bit.
And also the tempo was very good at the beginning.
Yeah, quick tempo.
Yeah.
Not high press, but pressing.
Because we were having those games early in the season where the beginning would be very slow and then the game would go up a bit.
You know what we have?
Down
you know
again.
What we need?
What?
It's all about the right mentality, mate.
I wanted to sing then. I don't know why.
Did you?
What? You know, we need what? You know
hey,
what you got?
Like
you just got girls. Girls.
Like
just, I
we need a show
to
tune.
We did.
Mate.
You suddenly there. I just wanted you to.
What, can we just
what have we got? What have we got? What have we got? What
don't
have we
do
got?
This. Don't do this because it's making me go all Mel Brooks.
Oh,
I kind of like Fats Fancy wandering out the studio now and
yes,
sort of kind of
yes,
a big Busby Barclay
in.
Scene,
yes,
you know.
Yes. With Johnny in the middle twirling in a swimming costume.
There you go. Anyway, we've stopped taking the drugs now so we can calm down. But look, in all seriousness, I think that's possibly the best way to do it. That really good tempo at the beginning. Get into them, rough them up a bit. Don't give them any space. Don't give them an inch, really. Really just impose ourselves on them, Johnny, I think.
Which they're good at doing at home. Yeah. Chelsea are good at doing it and have done very well recently. So
even with that, Chelsea would still be at risk of a sucker punch, wouldn't they?
No, indeed.
Which
was
what happened the first time.
With Fulham, I think also
they defend deeper,
that won't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm just worried that they'll lose tempo and energy in the last... 15 minutes of the game, because that's been happening.
Well, not if they bring some youngsters on, you know, who've got a bit of legs, you know.
Who would they be, by any chance?
No, that young lad, remind me. Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Callum Cheek.
Yes, that one
that's
too.
That's the one.
Ruben Loftus-Odoi.
Why has nobody phoned us?
I don't know.
0208 70 2558.
Okay, that was bizarre and random. But
I know, but they haven't. I'm just thinking about it. Nobody's phoned us.
You're missing
at all.
People, Jonathan.
I am. I want somebody to phone us.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
He hasn't had his carer with him today, so he needs a bit of company. So if anybody wants to ring in, you know the number.
Please phone me.
Can I mention the quiz again, actually? Because I've been very...
come on with the quiz.
I mean,
come
the
on,
thing is,
been
Johnny's been so interesting and engaging and making us talk about football. Yes. I've forgotten all about the quiz.
Yes.
We do have a quiz every week on the show, and normally your Uncle Chidge actually bothers to tell you about it at every, in every part.
Conceivable moment.
I do. But it's a very easy question. Who played for Chelsea and Wolves? It's a real stinker this week. I found 14, and some of them are so hard that nobody, not even Rick Glanville, would get them.
Absolute
stinker. But anyway, what you need to do, either phone us, like Jonathan said, 0208
7020 558.
Thank you. Or tweet at Love Sport Radio or at Chelsea Fancast, and we'll tell you the answers in the last part.
That's 0208 7020 558.
Coming up, we've heard the word dichotomy a couple of times on the show. Here's one for Sarri. Should he high press or should he sit deeper?
Come for the sport, stay for the chat. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and the race for top four is really starting to hot up. Chelsea are in it, of course. Spurs are in it, of course. Arsenal still in it, just about. With that in mind, Jonathan Kidd and David Chidgey, is this upcoming game for Chelsea against an impressive Wolverhampton Wanderers side a must-win game?
They're all must-win games.
Every single one?
Every single one of them is, yeah, because you don't know what's going to happen around you. United don't appear to be able to lose at the moment, so they'll just keep going. That's one of the places up for grabs with them. They could get that, in which case you're just going for fourth. Spurs look a bit Spursy at the moment. They might fall apart. And Arsenal, I don't quite know what's going on there. But having said that, though, they might just perform wonderfully against Rennes at the Emirates, is it?
And it is the Emirates.
And do rather well. I don't know. It's very up in the air at the moment. Some very strange performances being given by these teams all around us. But at the same time, we've got to keep going.
You're right, of course. I think the thing is, you know, Dom Fifield again was spot on with this earlier. You know, in a sense, Sarri's job's safe until he loses a game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where he sits. And I'm not convinced. I'm a bit agnostic about him still, but I am pleased that he seems to have embraced a bit of pragmatism, because, you know, clearly it was just insane.
But they sat down and had a chat with him.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
I think,
well,
one of the things that people don't seem to be aware, is that he is. It, clearly, with the success he has as a businessman, the success he's had, he's very good at dealing with the players.
Yeah, he's a good manager.
I think, yeah, he's a very good
man manager
and very honest with them.
Yeah.
And so when people write, he's lost the team, he's lost their brief, down tools, you just think this is complete rubbish.
Yeah,
they're all trying to make it work. You know?
Sells more articles.
Yes, of course it does.
But, you know, so I think he has to kind of win, really, in order to safeguard his job, in a sense, because of the situation he found himself in. But it's also a must win, because I think we've actually genuinely now got a sniff of getting into the top four, which seemed to have disappeared a few weeks ago. And I know that sounds daft when we're sitting in sixth place, but we have a game in hand on Arsenal, who are sitting on 57 points. We're on 56. We've got a game in hand on Man United, who are sitting on 58 points. And we're within two wins of Tottenham on 61 points. So, and I think the players have all been saying it this week, it was kind of 1-3, and now it's 2-4. You know, so I think we've got a very good chance of getting to the top four, which means we have to win.
And presuming that Liverpool don't completely fall apart.
No, they won't. They're also 14 points ahead of us, mate. We're not catching that up with 9 games to go.
No.
But we could catch United, we could catch Tottenham, and we could catch Arsenal.
Yeah.
So, as I said, now it's 2-4 places. I think we have a much better chance, and we need to go for it, and we need to keep winning.
And we need to win all these games against the lower teams, because Liverpool is going to be an interesting one.
Well, we've got Liverpool, we might raise our game.
Well, true.
We've got Liverpool and United away, which is a bit awful, but... Yeah. You know, we're the only side to beat Liverpool at Anfield this year in the Carabao Cup, so why not?
Keep in mind, with the lower teams, that Wolves have taken more points off the top six than any other team outside the top six this season. They could present a problem.
Yeah.
Supposing if, hypothetically, Jonathan, Chelsea didn't get into the Champions League, be it either through finishing in the top four or for winning the Europa League.
From out of the Europa League and not getting in the top four.
And therefore not in the Champions League through any route.
Yeah.
How big of a problem would that present for the club, and would Sarri be out the door?
I think Sarri would go, yes.
I mean, like I said, Jonathan's been going for years before I started.
Since I was
going,
a child.
I've been going for a long time.
My father took me. He went before me, and his father before that was a Linfield fan.
In 1905.
No relevance whatsoever.
Jonathan was there. But we've been going for a long time, so we've seen it all at Chelsea, and I would survive if Chelsea didn't make the top four this season, but for the club, it would be horrible. They would find it really tough because, of course, their whole business plan is predicated, as we were saying earlier, on them being in the Champions League every year. This will be the third out of, what, four seasons that we haven't been in the Champions League. So revenue goes down, the ability to attract players becomes harder. We clearly need something of a rebuild in terms of quality players. We've only got two world-class players at the moment, and all throughout that kind of first 10-year period when Roman came in, we had about five at least. So it would be pretty disastrous if we didn't make the top four this year and get to the Champions League, I feel.
And yet, Marina Gavaskaya may have, because Sarri was her choice, may have so built into this whole setup with him that she may say, no, we're keeping him, because we know what he's trying to do. It would be very rare with Chelsea.
Well, that's the thing,
you don't know.
Yeah, and of course, this is the $64 billion question, so we never know. We can sit here and predict and hypothecate till the cows come home, but the reality is that we never know. A lot of us kind of looked at it before the season, Johnny, and were saying, well, this is it. We really do need to have a rebuild now. We do need to transition properly. Every time we've tried to before, the club have lost their you-know-whats and bottled it and then gone back to their normal ways. Either they sack the manager if they don't finish in the top four. Maybe we do need to do what you were saying, Liverpool and Spurs have been doing for the last few years. So actually have a manager, have a game plan, decide how you want to play and accept that it might take time to do that.
That's what City did, really, isn't it?
No, that's not what City did.
No,
I think that's a spurious claim.
No, with the fact they didn't win anything, I mean.
No, they didn't win anything, but City didn't do that. What City did,
they just bought messes of players.
They spent $500 million.
That's right.
And did it in three years with the best manager in the world, who decided who was getting bought before he even joined.
No, not winning.
Okay.
They didn't win for 2 years.
Fair enough.
Because he tried to make the system work.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking
it was
of
different.
Not winning, we mentioned Spurs there. We're now seeing that not only will Tottenham be playing in their new stadium in April if these two tests that are to come are passed, they'll be facing either Crystal Palace or Brighton. Firstly, what do you make of this new stadium? Does it look as fantastic as Spurs fans are billing it up to be?
I don't care.
It looks like a loo.
It does look like a loo.
Okay.
Very appropriate, really.
Tottenham will be playing in their new loo. With that in mind, moving into a new stadium, which is, of course, something that Chelsea could be doing in a few years'
not
time.
Not seeing that.
At some point, they will have to.
Stamford Bridge on the telly, Jonathan. Look.
It's a delight.
Look at that.
How important is it for a club when moving into a new home to play perhaps slightly lesser opposition and to get off symbolically on a really good winning start?
I wouldn't call... I know what you mean.
Relative to a top four side.
It's honestly... look at us. We're like five-year-old kids. The sight of our stadium on the TV and we're transfixed.
Chelsea.
It just shows you what it means
to
you.
Who are the ones to set them alight?
Chelsea. Who is it? A corner. Anyway, look.
Corner.
I don't think that you can belittle Palace and Brighton that much, although I do accept that they are clearly not as good as Spurs. Otherwise, that they would be in third place in the league. Palace are in a really rich vein of form at the moment, and they'll give anybody a go. And Brighton are really tough to beat. So
Brighton haven't been tough to beat recently, actually. Brighton are in a woeful form. I take your point that they're both good sides. I'm not saying
they're better at home. I'll accept that.
I'm saying they're not top-class sides. How important is it, though, for Spurs to win? I mean, for all of this fanfare about coming into a new home, if they lose, does it somehow ruin all of that cachet?
Well, I certainly hope so. the bottom line is, any team in the top four has to win all of their games, particularly at this time of the season, Johnny. There's nine games left, and this is where you win or lose titles.
This game would be in the FA Cup, so obviously it would be knockout. It wouldn't affect the race for top four.
But I think that Pochettino will long off the FA Cup. I think he'll probably play a week inside. He doesn't care
about
it.
But he won't be able to play a week inside if it's the first game at the new stadium, because they'd be rioting.
Well, it'd be really funny to see it, wouldn't it? I bet I think he will, because I think, like a lot of deluded people, unfortunately, in football these days. It's all about finishing in the top four and not winning trophies. You know, finishing top four is the trophy for these clubs.
Didn't he admit that, though, himself?
He did admit it. And Levy tells him that every week, I'm sure. You know, that's what it's about. And I think it's hilarious that all the press do is load on and load on and load on more pressure on him to win trophies, because the press are like supporters. They know it's all about winning trophies. But for the clubs, it's about finishing in top four and making more filthy lucre and building the brand. And that's why I think Pochettino, you know, I think there's been rumours about this too, that Pochettino really just does what Levy says. He's not a very challenging manager. He's no Mourinho. You know, he'll do what he's told, and that's what he does. So there you go. Ba-boom.
For Spurs as well as for Chelsea, top four is the focus. They'll be chasing it against Wolves at the weekend. And as you know, on the Love Sport fan shows, we love to get an opposition view. With that in mind, we'll be hearing from Harry Mansell of the Wolves 77 Club in just a moment.
This is Love Sport. The opposition view on Love Sport.
Next up for Chelsea in the Premier League, it's Wolverhampton Wanderers, and I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by Harry Mansell of the Wolves 77 Club. Harry, thanks ever so much for joining us on the line this evening. Do you think that your boys can cause Chelsea a problem?
Hi, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I actually do, to be honest. We're good away from home. We're good on the counter-attack. But the only problem I think we have got is a lot of Wolves fans and maybe some of the players have got their eye on next week. We've got a huge game coming up against Manchester United in the FA Cup. So whether they can keep that out of their minds and depend on what team's picked by Nuno, I think we can cause you some problems, yeah.
Is Nuno likely to... hello, Harry, it's Jonathan here. Is Nuno likely to pick a weakened side then, do you think?
Well, he picked quite a weak side against Cardiff, but we got the job done. He played like Traore, right wing back.
Yes, he played from the beginning, didn't he?
Right,
yeah, as well, didn't
Yeah, and we played Vinagre, left wing back, who was man of the match, so maybe he might start. Gibbs White was in there, who's not really a starter, but he's a great player. So it just depends how many he keeps in the team from the team that beat Cardiff. Because our strongest team, ironically, played against Bournemouth and Huddersfield, but we drew and lost. So whether he, you know, makes many changes is yet to be seen.
Can I ask, how old is Gibbs White?
I think he's only 18.
18, you see, and you don't have an objection to him coming on halfway through the match, do you? Because you just said he comes on. Whereas at Chelsea, everybody, Hudson-Odoi, has to play from the beginning all the time.
Sorry, Harry. It's Chidge here. Didn't Gibbs White play in the same under-17 squad for England that won the World Cup that Callum Hudson-Odoi did?
Yeah, he did. I think he got a goal in there as well. It's 5-2, wasn't it? He's been brilliant, to be honest. And when we got promoted, a lot of Wolves fans didn't think he'd be in the squad. They thought he'd got on loan. Mm. But Nuno's given him a chance. He's come on, you know, like 10 minutes here and there. He actually started, one of his first starts was actually when we beat you in the reverse fixture.
Yeah, he had
a really
good
game that day. He set up Jimenez's goal. And he's a really, really good player.
So, Harry, here's a question I've been dying to ask. You know, Wolves, since the money came in, have transformed. I mean, as a supporter, I'm sure you go, you know, week in, week out. I mean, how are things? I mean, obviously you play better football and you're now seventh in the Premier League, but what's basically changed for you guys as supporters there?
Well, like, you know, money doesn't always bring success. And the first season, we actually struggled. We finished, like, down in, like, 16th, like, with Lambert and that in charge. And then when Nuno came in, it just all took off from the beginning. He brought in some good players. The style of football, we knew what we were playing. We played the 3-4-3 with the wing-backs. And no one knew if it would work in the Championship. And we just absolutely destroyed teams. And as you know, we went up top of the league. And we just know exactly how we're going to play. And we could be playing Chelsea. We could be playing Cardiff. And we played exactly the same. And it's such a joy to watch. After the hard times we've had as Wolves fans, having the double relegation, being down in League One, coming back, and it's just honestly, it's just a joy to be a Wolves fan at the moment.
One thing, can I just ask you, which has always annoyed me, is that having watched Norman Dealey score in 1960 in the FA Cup final for you, and having bought a Wolves replica shirt at the time, and my dad being aghast because we lived in Kensington and he went to the bridge all the time, he could see that he'd have to take me more often to become a Chelsea fan, so he did, as to why the team is wearing these yellow shirts and not the traditional old gold. What is going on?
It's a bit controversial.
It ought to be. Good.
And just to add to that as well, at the beginning, when they first brought the tops out, there was badges and that falling off. So,
The kit,
Bit of a sore subject, to be honest, but
good, I'm glad it is.
I'm not the biggest fan of it, I'll be honest, but hopefully we get back to the old gold next season.
Harry, a lot was made in the Championship season, and particularly in the summer before you came up, of the club's link with Portuguese super agent Jorge Mendes, suggestions that, you know, Espirito Santo's on his books, Jota's on his books, Ruben Neves is on his books. This massive link to Portuguese talent, who this super agent represents, who he's then bringing into the club. Important for me to stress here that this is all legal, it's all above board, it's all transparent. But rival fans, particularly in the Championship, really weren't happy about it. As a Wolves fan, does that bother you, or are you just so elated with the success on the pitch that you couldn't care less?
Yeah, very elated, but I was a bit worried at first, and I was kind of waiting, and maybe it might still happen, whether it starts to work against us, if he starts shipping out our best players out, because obviously most
Neves
of our best
to
players...
Barca or somewhere.
Yeah, things like that, but no, I love it, and obviously Villa and teams like that were very bitter last year. They were singing his name in the terraces last year, the Wolves fans, but it is good, because he's brought us so much joy with the players he's brought in, but I just hope, I'll keep my fingers crossed, that he don't come back to bite us when he takes away our best players, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you that, because, I mean, you know, Espirito Santo's been really bigged up recently. He's clearly a very good manager and I think deserves a lot of the praise he's getting. Do you worry that he might get poached?
Yeah, but I think he's really brought into the project we've got going. I think he's really into what's going on at the club, and he is a great manager. And I think the style of play he's got us playing this year, the neutral, I think the neutral of him as well. I don't know what you guys think of him, but he's becoming becoming a bit of a big name, isn't he? So if he
I love seeing
on,
a former goalkeeper be a manager for one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And we were saying he's got a great beard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Obviously very
absolutely
important.
Brilliant.
Very
clearly
important.
Listen. He's very, he's a very calm bloke. He's a nightmare to interview. Some of our local journalists say he's a nightmare to interview, and he's always the same, and he'd always say it's about the team, it's about the performance. He never gets too high, he never gets too low. But the Wolves fans absolutely love him. He shows a lot of passion on the sidelines, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Harry. So, looking at Chelsea on Sunday, I mean, which Chelsea players do you think are going to be a threat to Wolves on Sunday? I mean, we're in a bit of a conundrum here. We don't quite know how Sarri should set up, it being that you're a really good counter-attacking side. So we're not sure whether we should just go for it and run that risk or defend a bit deeper and be a bit more savvy about it. But what are you worried about Chelsea doing?
Well, the obvious one's obviously Hazard, but I've seen the Fulham game. You had Higuain, didn't you? Playing,
yeah.
I think he got a goal.
Yeah.
So, in your striker's form, is it Giroud? I think Giroud played in the Europa League, did he?
Yeah. It'll be Higuain on Sunday, I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, because I think it's one of you chaps that come on our podcast, wasn't
it? Me.
You said that you can always predict. It was you, you are, yeah. So you said you can always predict the team, so.
Yeah.
But I think if you do come at us and really put the pressure on, if, I don't know if you saw our game against Tottenham, where they battered us for the first 45 minutes, got their goal, and then we got our counter-attacking style, which is probably our best style we play. If we don't have much of the ball, we can hit teams on the break and we can be deadly. So if we, you know, if we can contain you just to the one goal or something in the first half, for example, and then if we can smash you on the counter and put our chances away.
I don't like that word, smash. I don't like it. I don't like smash. Thank you.
Harry, Raul Jimenez has been unbelievably important for Wolves this season, particularly recently, of course, been going through a really rich vein of goal-scoring form. On paper, at least, the Mexican is still only on loan from Benfica. How likely is it that that move is going to become permanent and he'll stick around at Molineux for a while longer?
Oh, I think very likely. They've got to sign him. I think it's around £30 million mark. I'm guessing we'll have first dibs on that. So we've got to. The only worry we had for the first half of the season, he's been brilliant. His hold-up play is brilliant. He sets up goals, he scores. But the only problem Wolves fans had was is he clinical enough? But lately, the last 5 to 8 games or so, he's just been banging the goals in.
One of the least clinical strikers in European football when he was playing for Liverpool, in terms of chances he had in relation to goals scored, was a certain Mr. Luis Suarez. So some people would argue that your ratio isn't what matters. It's how many times you hit the back of the net. Jimenez is certainly doing that. Jota, of course, has been fantastic as well. But looking ahead to the weekend, there's something I do to all of our opposition view guests, Harry, which none of them are very keen on. And I'm afraid I'm going to do the same to you, which is put you on the spot and ask you for a score prediction, please. What's going to happen when Chelsea take on Wolves?
So I think, with my realistic hat on and not being biased, I think we're going to get an early goal but I think you'll beat us 2-1.
2-1 Chelsea, you heard
you could,
it
you could come
first.
On the show anytime you like, Harry.
Harry, well done, Harry.
Harry, fantastic. You're always welcome. Yeah. Bring George Mendes with you. Ask him if he needs another client who's a radio presenter. We'll all be more than happy to oblige. That was Harry Mansell.
Cheers,
there.
Well
done. He's from the Wolves 77 Club podcast, and he thinks that Chelsea are going to get the 3 points. Coming up, all of your very finest memories from this fixture.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with Johnny Burrow and David Chidgey and Jonathan Kidd from the Chelsea Fancast. Now, Chelsea have faced Wolves many, many times throughout both clubs' respective illustrious histories. But gentlemen, which memories really stand out for you?
I can't remember any.
you can't. Come on, you've been watching. You were probably watching them in the 50s when Wolves were actually good.
1960, Derek Dougan played for Blackburn against them in the final when they beat Blackburn 3-0. And I say Norman Deely scored 2 goals. Subsequently, of course, Andy Gray played for them and scored some very good goals. And also, was it Richards?
John Richards.
He was a decent player.
He was
player,
a very
blimey.
Good player.
Steve Bull.
I liked him. But it was in the third division.
He wasn't a very good player.
I don't quite know how he ever got picked for England.
Alan Sunderland played for them. But
he did,
then,
before he went to Arsenal. Yeah. Was it after he went from...
You know,
did he go from there?
No, he went from Wolves to Arsenal, and then he did the 79 Cup final, the five-minute Cup final. I interviewed him for Sky. We did a documentary series, and I interviewed him for that. And he's now bald and very old. And he didn't look like Alan Sunderland's supposed to look with that great big kind of perm.
Did you doubt him? Did you say you're not on Alan Sunderland?
No, but we
claim my £5.
We introed it and said you'll never know you just won't guess who this guy is. And then we did the kind of good old record scratch.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to him wearing a big afro wig. I said, "That's right, Alan Sunderland."
Did he look like himself with the afro
he
wig?
Did, actually.
So
he did
actually.
He was a really good sport. Anyway, we digress.
Good for him. Other Wolves players, Ron Flowers. I remember him.
He was the England goalkeeper, and, wasn't he? Or backup
no,
of the,
no, no,
the
no,
World
no,
Cup. He was.
No, not the goalkeeper. No, that was Flowers. That was Tim Flowers.
No, Ron Flowers.
Ron Flowers, the backup. No, he played centre half.
He was no way, mate. He was a goalkeeper.
Ron Flowers was
a goalkeeper.
I bet you. A tenner.
Okay, those who agree with me, phone up 0208 70 20 558.
Ringing up is not the same as looking up. Ron Flowers.
Can I deliver
Ron Flowers
the answer?
Yeah.
Billy
Wright.
Which
is that Ron Flowers was actually, if Wikipedia is to be believed, a midfielder.
He said a centre half.
It was Billy Wright who was the centre-half. He wasn't. Ron Flowers midfield. That's
whatever.
Right. And who else played?
I'm
Derek Dougan, of course,
is a great
player.
I'm not talking to you
anymore. I'm sold. No. And, how were you sure that he was a goalkeeper?
I don't know. Because, you see, I go through the internet searching for players who have played for both Chelsea and
Wolves. Yeah, and they come up, these other
and
players.
And I thought I remembered that he was a goalkeeper.
The reason why you think he's a goalkeeper...
Finlayson was the goalkeeper.
...is because of Tim Flowers,
who was
a goalkeeper.
I said Tim Flowers. I said
who
played for Blackburn at some stage, and Leicester. But Finlayson was the Wolves goalkeeper in 1960, I think. Am I remembering that correctly?
I don't know.
No, me neither. I don't really care.
More recently, I remember Sylvain Ebanks-Blake, who scored a lot of goals when they were last promoted from the Championship then did nothing in the Premier League.
The interesting thing is the last time that Chelsea played Wolves at home was in 2012 when we walloped them 6-0 in the League Cup, which is quite fun. And the last time we played them in the Premier League was 2011 when we beat them 3-0. They are a very different Wolves side now, it has to be said. But, I mean, you know, most of my generation remember playing Wolves in the old second division in the days when I think it was like 77, we had to do no worse than draw against them to go back up to the first division, and we did. I think we had a 1-1 draw. Tommy Langley scored, I think. But it was also the days when you can't ban a Chelsea fan because we kept on getting banned for hooliganism, and yet Molyneux was absolutely packed out with Chelsea fans, so therefore we have these t-shirts, you can't ban a Chelsea fan. So that's my memories of Chelsea playing Wolves, which is a long time ago, but there you go.
Finlayson, I'm right, the goalkeeper was Finlayson. Why have these things stayed in my memory?
I'm worried about that, actually.
Completely dreadful, that
I know. I think that's quite abnormal, really.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm feeling abnormal about
but
it.
But there you go.
Peter Broadbent, do you remember him? He played for them.
Yeah. Yeah, vaguely. Shall I divulge the quiz answers now?
I'd like it.
Because otherwise, but basically what happens is I forget, Johnny, and then I have to panic as it approaches whatever it is, 57. And
no, let's have
it. And I wouldn't want to give you a heart attack or see you go even whiter. That would be very bad. Yeah, anyway, for those that have been listening for the whole show, you'll know that the Chelsea Fancast quiz this week has been who played for both Chelsea and Wolves. I have found 14 people, but others have come in. I mean, actually, the response on Twitter has been fantastic from a lot of the usual suspects and some of the unusual suspects as well, actually. But I haven't seen a duff answer among you yet, but you've actually added one that I didn't know about. Apparently Nathan Blake certainly played for us on loan or as a youth player or something. Anyway, whatever. They are, in no particular order, of course, ubiquitously, Dave Besant. Dave Besant's in every week. Every quiz we do, who played for Chelsea and whoever, you can guarantee that Dave Besant... So remember this next time. You'll always get one right if you actually take a punt and say Dave Besant.
Yeah.
So there you go. Carlton Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that. Connor Hunt. Youth player.
Yeah, I don't remember.
No, you wouldn't have known that one. No. There's some real stinkers in here. Tommy Langley. A lot of people got that right. Michael Mancini.
Did he go to Wolves after Chelsea then, Langley?
Yeah.
Tommy Langley.
No, he went to them after Chelsea. Chelsea. I think he might have gone QPR first. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, that's right, he did, yeah.
Tommy Langley, Michael Mancini.
That's a hell of a name.
Yeah.
He went to Nottingham Forest after that.
International footballer for the Seychelles.
He was, indeed.
No, didn't he also play for England?
I think
he was in the
level.
Squad. No, I think he was in the England squad.
Was he?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is some that I didn't know, actually, but should have done. Jonathan probably would know, but Jim McAleog played for Wolves
as
well.
Yes, I remember that, yes.
Frank Nuble.
Yes, good
He
old.
Was a youth player for us.
The Noob, as he was called.
The Noob, of course, more famously for West Ham. George Saville. Quite recently.
That's right, yes. Nuble looked absolutely excellent. And
Don't talk to me about people. I've moved on.
I know, but I just wanted to say that he looked excellent. He played okay and then disappeared. And you think he should have been better, Nuble.
Well, he went to West Ham. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
anyway, right. George Saville, who played for us as a youth player. He had, I think, maybe one appearance for us. And he had, I can't remember anyway. Whatever. This is where it gets really horrible. And people are going to hate me for doing this. Because I actually bothered to do my homework for once.
Yeah.
So I went back in the archives.
Yeah, all right, though.
So, Wally Ackers.
Wally Ackers. Yeah, Wally.
Jonathan saw him play because he played for us between 1937.
I was about to say 38. I was about to say that.
37 to 39.
Yeah.
Bill Barraclough.
Yeah. Oh, God, 1923.
No, 1934 to 37.
Yeah.
Now, you should know this one, although this is a stinker as well.
Yeah.
Jim Barron.
He was the goalkeeper.
I don't know.
Was everyone a goalkeeper?
We always say that because
Jim Barron. I thought Jim Barron was a goalkeeper. I don't know.
I can't remember.
Then played under Doherty.
He may have been 65, 66.
Yeah, it's right. Didn't get in the side. Played one appearance.
I knew you'd know this. You're such an old fart, aren't you? This is a brilliant one. I can't believe I didn't know. This is great. Dickie Deacon.
I had never heard of
him. He played for us in 1934, but he ended up being one of the trainers.
Dickie Deacon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Michael Jilks. A lot of people got this.
Yeah, he played for Reading, didn't he, originally?
Yeah.
He looked as if he was going to be a decent player, Jilks.
1992.
He was a winger. Meet lots of players, and then it never happened.
1992, he was on loan there. And finally, this is a cracker, actually, and most people should know this, but nobody put it in. John Harris. Now, he played
He was the West Ham manager for a period, and he played centre-half for Chelsea, and he is in the 1954-55 team.
Exactly. He played for us between 1945 and 56, so he was a member of the championship-winning squad.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's it. So anybody who got all of those is a genius, and I don't think anybody has, but most of them got the more obvious ones, and they're a very good bunch. They know their onions, this lot, on Twitter, so well done them.
It's extremely impressive. Yeah. There's a whole raft of names there.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a lot of looking backwards. In terms of glorious memories to be created in fixtures, could Chelsea produce a few more this weekend?
Glorious memories.
If there was a 50-yard screamer.
If Higuain scores a screamer, I'll cherish that. I'll cherish that. What I'll be looking at is these yellow shirts that we're playing against.
with the badges falling off.
They're playing against a shirt that we wear as our second team colours, the yellow, as opposed to old gold, which is such a...
It should be old gold.
There was a period where the gold was a really golden colour, and I got my Sabutio team with an old gold Wolves kit. It was else. It was like that, rolled gold. And then it was like gun metal. It was a gun gold. I love
it. It's a beautiful kit, actually, and it's a shame that they don't use it anymore. I mean, before we say what... Because he's going to ask us predictions in a minute. I'm trying to stave this off as long as I can, JK.
Absolutely.
So can I do something else that's really, really, very important, which was launched today? There's a thing called the Football Blogging Awards, which we actually won the inaugural one for best podcast in 2012.
Wow.
And then we followed that up with another victory in 2015. So without sounding too scouse, we've won it two times. And we've been finalists every year, 2012 to 2017, but not last year. Now, the theory for this is either the vote was rigged.
Always a possibility.
Yeah, I know who does it, so I think they rigged it to make sure we weren't in it. Or I was too busy and lazy. That could be the possibility. I don't want to consider it, but it might be the fact. But anyway, it's happening again, so people can start voting for us. Basically, it's two stages. You've got nomination voting, and if you get into the finals, then you have to vote again. But nomination voting starts today, and nomination voting finishes on 24th of March 2019 at 7 o'clock. So you need to go out and vote for the Chelsea Fancast for the best podcast. Loads of ways to vote. You can vote on the Football Blogging Awards website, which is www.footballbloggingawards.co.uk. You can vote through our website, chelseafancast.com. Just click check the blog out on latest news, and there's a little voting widget there. And you can vote as a judge nomination on the Football Blogging Awards website. Vote on our Instagram account. Basically, go to the best podcast image on Football Blogging Awards Instagram account, and then you tag the Chelsea Fancast Instagram account in the comments. And finally, the easiest way, I think, is to just vote on Twitter. So go to your Twitter account, and then you write the following: I am voting for at Chelsea Fancast in at the FBAS for hashtag best podcast. And you have to do exactly that, or it won't count. And as my old friend Dr. Mart, who started the show with me, used to say, vote early and vote often.
Let me offer you an option rather than an often. You get Chelsea qualifying for the Champions League or the Chelsea Fancast winning an FBA. What's it to be?
Well, we've won one already.
You've won both already.
No, Chelsea Fancast to win the FBAs every time.
Every time?
Obviously.
Okay.
Good grief.
Both.
Both.
Yeah. Well, we won the Champions League and the FBAs in the same year.
Yeah, in the same year, yeah.
Ah, so it's a sign. Yeah. It could happen again.
And we won the title in 2015.
It's just complete coincidence.
The title in 2015.
Does that imply that your content improves when there is silverware being won?
Probably more positive.
No, I think we've gone downhill really since the first four we did.
I think we're better being whingy, don't you?
I think our kind of, what is it, our zenith? Yes, was the year we had Benitez as manager, because I absolutely had a meltdown
and
for a year.
The hatred was wonderful.
I hated him.
So
each week, the
energy was phenomenal, because it was constant
fury.
Bile.
I just was mad. I went mad for a year.
You did.
Well, that wins awards.
It doesn't matter. Not in 2013. Nearly.
No, it was too incandescent.
It nearly won me a spell in the loony bin for a few years.
There we go. White light, white heat coming out of the radio.
Well, before anyone is carted off, I'm going to have to put you two on the spot.
I put
Harry Mansell on the spot. We'll start with David Chidgey. It's Wolves at the weekend. I need a score prediction and perhaps a justification.
Johnny, you know, you'll learn this as you carry on presenting this show, that I never ever predict that Chelsea will lose.
Okay.
Ever.
Good. No, I respect that.
So
I'm the same, actually.
I will go 2-1. But I have to say, I don't say it with enormous confidence. I think this is going to be a really, really tough match. Chelsea are going to have to be 100% on their game. And I worry that Sarri again might just not realise this, and they might like fanny about for the first 20 minutes, by which time they might be 2-0 down.
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think we'll go at them as we did against Kiev.
Well, that's what they need to do.
And I think we'll score two goals. The dilemma is whether we then take the foot off the gas again in the last 20 minutes and they score. And I think it's going to be 3-2 to us.
Well, if Chelsea get an early goal, Chelsea should win the game.
Because
we've been hearing all show that Wolves are based on counter-attacking.
Yeah, but it's the same thing as with Fulham. They just seem to lose it, and then the old kick the ball up
they
the pitch and run
off,
after it.
They switch off.
We just seem to get knackered. For 60 minutes, they play really excellently. Yeah.
It could be concerning because Wolves switch on, of course.
They do.
We saw late
they
on
do.
Against
Indeed,
the likes
they
of
do.
Leicester. Yeah. That's when Jimenez comes alive.
That's why I'm saying I think it might be. So if Chelsea are two up, I think they might score two. Yeah. The pattern of the game for me is Chelsea will score two, they'll score two, and then Chelsea will score one in the last few minutes.
I'm not going to be there. That's what's really annoying me. I'm going to be sitting here broadcasting.
I know. But you can speak to me later.
Yeah, we are. I'm going to speak to you. Be good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, it's been a wonderful first show in your company. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much for joining me.
The predictions have been wonderful. Remember to vote for the Chelsea Fancast in the FBAs. We need a third title. Make it a hat-trick. And good luck against Wolves at the weekend. Until next week, it's been the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
Is Love Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.